So at this time, I would like to get board members' updates. So I could start on my left with Mr. Young.
The only thing to report is I, as well as most of you here, except I think Mr. Johnston, attended the WQCC meeting in Sacramento a couple of weeks ago. Nothing else to report.
And then I'll go to my extreme right.
I also attended the WQCC meeting. I attended a climate resilience workshop on, what day is it? Friday, on Wednesday. That's really all I have to report.
I didn't attend the WQCC meeting. I did on October 11th attend Assemblymember Mark Stone's annual environmental breakfast, where he basically kind of goes over legislative issues affecting his district, which is a good chunk of the Monterey Bay. On October 20th, I attended was actually a book reading and discussion on a book that the Santa Cruz History Museum has put out, and it was dealing with activists in Santa Cruz County, and the particular focus of this was the struggle that had gone on in the 1980s and 90s to preserve the wetlands in Watsonville, which resulted in the development of the organization Wetlands Watch. Board members probably are familiar with it because we've met on occasion for offsite meetings in their offices at Pajaro Valley High School. And in fact, we had a board member here speaking to us yesterday from Wetlands Watch, Sarah Lopez. And then one other thing I want to report is on October 26th, and I'm reporting this out of an abundance of caution since we are now in the impending stage with the agricultural waiver. I'm doing air quotes here, a conversation with Kay Mercer on Facebook. I had seen a post from her. She's one of many people I see their Facebook postings, and I'd seen a post from her complaining about the everything regulators were doing to farmers, and responded to her, and we went back and forth. And at the end, she made some comments about how she felt about the current set of options in the staff report that we discussed yesterday. I didn't respond, but it was you could argue it was a public conversation, or because Facebook's pretty public, or it wasn't. But in any case, I just wanted to report that for transparency. That's all I have.
Thank you. Thank you, Board. I'm going to, as part of my report to the board, I typically include a summary and update of work on environmental justice issues. So linked into that, I did attend the Water Quality Coordinating Committee meeting, and one of the issues there was the issue of homelessness and water quality, and I think that's something that was very inspiring. We saw some really amazing work going on in San Diego. The mayor of San Diego City was there and helped us to see some solutions and some very innovative and creative ways of thinking about the problem, not just in a short-term urgent sense, but in thinking more broadly about the community needs and impact to the community as a whole, and in particular water quality. And I'm guessing that we're gonna see something developing here based on some of the ideas we heard. Also in the EO's report, we do have an update on the stewardship group, which involves well testing and replacement water. So I will leave that discussion to that point in our agenda. So I'm going to report today on our progress with building environmental justice capacity in the Central Coast region. This was an initiative that was launched earlier this year to help establish a program to support disadvantaged community members, which in many ways is similar to other places in our state where they don't just live all in one place, and it's not just an easy process of identifying folks who have water issues or drinking contaminated water and are have solutions available to them. Pardon me. So we have identified the Community Water Center. Three board members from this panel participated in that selection to initiate this program for us. It is a two-year program. And in that process, we were really, really fortunate. I can't overstate this. Heather Lukacs will be the director. If you ever have a chance to see her resume, she is stellar in the work she's done in water quality and water issues related to communities that are very challenged with these issues. She has worked all across the country and I believe even in some international projects. Along with the Community Water Center developing this program for us here in the Central Coast, which the office is located in Watsonville, they will also have the experience and advisory oversight, if you will, from Laurel Firestone in Sacramento and from Susanna Dionda in Visalia. And the model programs that they have to build from at the Watsonville location are really quite impressive. And I think we are, again, I can say we're so fortunate to have them working with us. And we will, they've just hired three staff and they're just getting themselves underway. But I understand, I had a chance to talk with Heather yesterday and they've already begun the process of outreach, and that is outreach and education and working on supporting the well testing effort is gonna be a high priority for them. We will be hearing more updates. And finally, I want to report on the UCLA pilot project, which is a project that is being led by the UCLA group in environmental studies. And we have supported this process in many ways. It's not our project. It's funded by Finance Division out of State Water Board, but we have been working as partners in this effort. And one of the most challenging aspects of seeing this water treatment, remote operated reverse osmosis system going into place and start to see what kinds of impacts we can make with this type of system is in permitting this project. It's very innovative and falls well beyond what traditional methods are for dealing with contaminated water at point of service. So we are happy to say that our permits were issued. We have the final permits coming online, the county being the last to issue their permit, which we expect, hopefully, I'm very encouraged to hear from staff that they expect it to come in the next week or so, and hopefully by the end of November at very latest. And finally, all three communities, which include the Santa Teresa area, the Blue Rock residents, and Prior Farms, these communities should see these installations of these systems in their homes by the end of 2019. We hope to see the first of demonstrated process and success in providing clean water to these families. So I'll end it with that. And as usual, I will mention the work of Angela Schroeder, who's leading this effort, and the support of John Robinson, of course, our executive officer, who's also very, very interested in seeing ways in which we can creatively help and assist and do our part to improve the water quality of folks who live in our region, but who also will benefit from this work throughout the state as we see these types of solutions moving into place and that they become practical and accessible to all of our disadvantaged communities statewide. So I'll end with that.
Thank you, Dr. Hunter. And you know, I will add also that you know, we are increasingly getting good contribution and assistance from a fellow board member, Ms. Gray. You know, has shown a a good interest in helping us, particularly in the southern part of our region, because of her close knowledge of the community in that area. So in regard to my updates, on September the 27th, I hosted at the request of Cal Poly, wine and viticulture program, a eco-tour at my vineyard. And this was part of Cal Poly hosting the International Wine Institute delegation, not to be confused with the Wine Institute that we're familiar with here in California. This international organization represents 32 countries, and increasingly they have concerns over the impact of climate change in the various countries. So the topic was predominantly on climate adaptation, sustainability associated with irrigation efficiencies, water use, and the impact of regulations. They were particularly interested to see what was happening in California with SGMA and looking how perhaps that model could be applied in some other countries. Then on October 9th, I had a meeting with San Luis Obispo County Supervisor Debbie Arnold, who was specifically interested in what was happening with our LAMP program and the potential impact of the LAMP program in the area that she represents. So I gave her sort of a LAMP 101 of what the progress was being made in that particular area. Then on October the 16th, I met with Senator Moning at his request to provide him updates on our region. Time to time, his staff will call me and request a little update, some of the areas of the discussions where desal activities in the Central Coast, and also coastal areas impact to water treatment plants, and then a brief update on the progress made with the Ag Order 4.0. Then on the 22nd of October, while in Sacramento, I met with our executive officer, Mr. Robertson, the director of Department of Pest Regulation, Mr. Brian Lee, and along with his staff. And the conversation was updates on our agriculture order development. So we did provide the maps, the critical path chart that yesterday was presented on the screen. Along with my colleagues, I attended the WQCC meeting. And then on the 24th, with our executive officer, I met with the executive director of the State Water Board, Eileen Staubach. And this was more of a broad discussion on our current activities within our region and addressing a broad range of projects that are being developed at the state level, including the wine reorder that the state is currently developing. But then we met Mr. Robinson and myself also with the Secretary Karen Ross of CDFA and her Undersecretary Jenny Moffitt, and these were also updates on the progress being made with the agriculture order. And then we met with Mr. Robertson and myself with the Undersecretary of the Cal EPA, Mr. Gordon Burr. And this was also to provide broad range of updates on you know, highlight of our activities within the Central Coast Regional Water Board. And then we ended our visits in Sacramento, meeting with the governor's office, Ms. Christy Stoffaker, and also gave her updates on our activities associated with the development of the agriculture order. Then on November the 2nd, met with Mr. Robertson here at the office with Supervisor Mr. Bruce Gibson, who had interest to have a conversation in regard to some of the coastal water treatment plants and, you know, the impact on some of the relicensing of these plants and the joint agency coordination with a coastal commission, since these coastal plants go to coastal commission permit approval and also our permit approval. So that was a constructive conversation that we had. And then lastly, on the 7th, which is 2 days ago, I attended the San Luis Obispo County Water Resource Advisory Committee, and the specific topic being presented was from the San Luis Obispo County Public Health Department, which is where I gleaned this information that I shared a bit yesterday on the fact that they have gone a long ways in really gathering much better information on wells. You know, it's not that many years ago where all the well data were what I call in, you know, in shoe boxes, you know, it was all pulp and paper. Now you can actually go online and everything is posted online. The well drillers' information are also electronically filed. No more of these little scratch piece of paper where, you know, a little wiggly line showing where the wells are located. So it was quite impressive. So that was the primary highlight of this Water Resource Advisory Committee presentation, which they host once a month. So that's the end of my updates, and I still managed to do a little bit of winemaking, you know, for process. So thank you.